We're continuing our series on being a Bible-driven church and a Bible-driven church of impact. And we've looked at being instructed in God's Word, the importance of sound doctrine, and everything which we do be grounded in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And then the M in impact is mobilizing for mission. And last week we looked at two passages of scripture, both from John's gospel. The first was John chapter 4, the second was John chapter 7. And the John chapter 4 passage, is about the woman who had the meeting with Jesus at the well. Hallelujah. And we spoke also on Wednesday evening, but there, you know, Jesus says, I want some water, I'm thirsty, and she made the smart comment, but you've got nothing to draw with. And then Jesus says, but what I have to give you is going to last. I can give you eternal water. I can give you something that you won't be thirsty again. And, you know, there's going to be a time when you people will worship me in spirit and in truth. And as we mentioned on Wednesday, one of the amazing things about that, you know, she was a Samaritan from, and he was a Jew, and yet Jesus was saying, I love you. I want you in my kingdom. That's reconciliation. And that's Jesus. He's still looking at all people today, and he's not willing that any should perish, but they should drink of this water. And we mentioned that we cannot be in the kingdom unless we've been born again. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit never draws to himself. He always points to Jesus. He always glorifies Jesus. Hallelujah. But we also notice, again, from John chapter 7, and there are many passages, Ephesians says, go on continually, be filled with the Spirit. There is a need, there's so much more that we need to fully fulfill God's will for us on earth. So much more. We need the dunamis, we need the power of God. And the John 7 passage talks about, look, if you're thirsty, out, if you come to me, if you drink from me, if you embrace all that I have for you, out from you will flow torrents of living water. Hallelujah. So that his will is accomplished on earth. We're going to read a passage from the Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. And verses 1 to 13. Luke 11, and we're going to just continue because I feel that the Lord doesn't want us to hurry this at all. So we're continuing on the being mobilized for mission and the absolute importance of being filled, baptized, anointed for service by his Holy Spirit. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That is the word of the Lord. This is all comes out of the question, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Out of this comes persistence. There comes persistence for the person who's praying, but there's one above who's eagerly wanting to give. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So it is important that we are earnest. We are earnest. If we're seeking even this morning for the baptism, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we need to be earnest. We need to be sincere. Hallelujah. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. There was an hilarious clangor that was dropped at a youth camp a little while back. Before they all gathered together, the leader called the leaders together, those who were going to teach the youth. He called them together for prayer. And that's what happened. And so what they did, they walked through every room and in the whole campsite to pray for the Lord's blessing there. Praying things like, Dear Lord, we consecrate this hall for your use. And then they'd go to another room and they would again say, Lord, we consecrate this room for your use. They were sincere and it was good biblical prayers. They even went out in the field where the tents were being erected and saying, Lord, we consecrate this area for your use. And then they came to the toilet area and one of the young leaders prayed with mindless sincerity, Dear Lord, we consecrate this toilet for your use. And, you know, we need to pray, obviously, according to the mind of the Lord, but he wants us to pray. He wants us to seek after the Holy Spirit. And this morning I pray that we will just be touched by heaven's throne. Lord, come among us. In your sovereign power. Yes, teach us to pray. Teach us to ask. Teach us to seek. Teach us to knock. You are more willing than any earthly father to give us the Holy Spirit. Will you come? And I must ask the question, are there obstacles in your life? And perhaps my life in receiving this special anointing which we need to overcome. Are there? One could be a sense of unworthiness. One might be a sense of unworthiness. Let me tell you this, friends. You've got an accuser, so have I. We've got an accuser of the brethren. And I'll tell you, he exaggerates your mistakes, he exaggerates your sins, especially at night time. And yeah, he'll certainly tell you you're not worthy. And of course, in one reason, it's true, none of us are worthy. We aren't. In ourselves, we're not worthy at all. But Christ, having given his life for us, having died that he might have a people who were going to belong to him, a special people, a people set apart, a people who have become his by faith. We're his. Hallelujah. He has clothed us in his righteousness. He's taken off your filthy rags and given you a wonderful, wonderful coat. Is even giving you the best ring for you to wear. Hallelujah. So our worth is in him. Our worth is in him. And maybe if you are still under attack or under this bondage, that, hey, you're not worthy to receive this blessing, to receive this power. You can just sit in your little corner of Gethsemane. I pray, oh God, that this morning you will have a revelation from him and that you'll seek after him right now. Seek after him for him to fill you and touch you. Satan is the accuser. You need to resist him. And as somebody said on Wednesday, you may need to remind him that he also has a future. And it's a bad one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do you see, does the Lord give his gifts and anointing as a reward for good behavior? That's a question we need to ask. Does he give his gifts? Does he give his anointing because you've behaved right? No, no, no. He wants to give us the power. He wants to baptize us afresh because he wants you and me to live a life that is pleasing to him. That's why. It's not so much about you. It's not so much about me. It's about him. So that he can accomplish what he wants to do in and through your life and mine, in and through this church, that we are a life, that we are living lives that glorify him and that have impact. Impact. And this church to have impact. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to live a life that is pleasing to him. Therefore, that means it will be a fruitful life. Let me remind you this morning that we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and we're heirs of God. Hallelujah. Are there hindrances still to be overcome? Well, the psalmist certainly says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That is talking about willful sinning, habits, lust for things which have got a grip over you. We need to repent. The Lord will help us. The Lord will give us the grace so that we can turn from those things which displease him. And it's not just the things which perhaps we see and gaze upon, or what we put in our mouths, is also what comes out of our mouths. A gossiping spirit can be a hindrance to what the Lord wants to do. A backbiting, anger, all these things, works of the flesh, need to be dealt with. And that's what the Lord wants to do. You know, friends, God is so gracious. He wants us in the place that he can use us. Hallelujah. There's work still to be done. It is still daytime. Can you just turn, because I was meditating earlier on Samson and Judges chapter 15. It will be on the screen, I think. Judges chapter 15. Because there's a lesson. I think there's three lessons, because we're talking about anything that might hinder, or what the Lord has already done for you. What the Lord has done for you, and yet somehow you haven't been released into the fullness and the freedom of what he wants. Judges chapter 15. Please forgive me, I'm not going to talk about the context because that will take too long. But chapter 15 and verse 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with a jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with a jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, So he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned. And he revived, therefore he called his name On-Ankor, which is in Lehi to this day. Is anyone thirsty? Hallelujah. The Bible says in this passage that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. His bonds were broke loose. He found a fresh jawbone. He took it. He killed 1,000 men. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given a great deliverance. Now shall I die of thirst?" And I said, there's three things which struck me as I was just meditating on that passage and thinking also in context of this service about being thirsty enough for the Lord that he will come in power upon us. And three things. Samson allowed Satan to bind him. Satan allowed Samson to bind him. The question is, maybe, what have you been tied up to? What's tied you up even today? What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Many things can help you to get the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Maybe you've been talking your problems to death. But I believe the Lord is saying, call out to me to allow his Holy Spirit to break anything that is keeping you from being set free. I believe that. Secondly, Samson needed to see what had already been given him. Samson needed to see what had already been given him. Hallelujah. What had he been given? Just the jawbone of a donkey. That's all he'd been given. The jawbone of a donkey. But with God's help, it was enough. It was enough. It was enough to win the day. Hallelujah. Why don't you ask God to show you what you've already got? And that he needs you with his help, with his anointing, which he's given you, to put it to work. Too many look in faraway places. They hear that God is moving here, there, and so they catch the plane, the bus, the coach, or whatever, and go to where the supposed revival is taking place. Are we looking in the wrong places? The answer may be right under your nose. Recognize what God has already given to you and use it for his glory. Come to him now. Yes, for an outpouring, a baptizing, an anointing of the Holy Spirit. But what has already been given you, even if it's just a jawbone, for you to use. Thirdly, Samson was celebrating victory, yet dying of thirst. Samson was celebrating victory, but he appeared to be dying of thirst. And it happens particularly to those who work full-time for God, who are involved in ministry, outreach, serving here, serving there. What can happen, of course, in the home? We may be busy with family. We may be busy at work with many, many responsibilities. And yes, we may have seen victory and be enjoying some victories, but we seem to be dying of thirst. Maybe we're not spending enough time with him. Maybe we're not spending enough time with him. Too busy, but not resting. Paul warns lest Satan should take advantage of you. When you give out but don't take in, and this has been one of my problems, the devil gets the advantage and you end up, if you're not careful, in Delilah's lap. Spend more time with God. The one who will give you, and he's giving you the victory, will quench your thirst. Hallelujah. He will quench your thirst. Glory be to Jesus. The Lord wants for you and for me a victorious life in Christ. Romans 8 verse 11 reminds us that the Spirit of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you. Wow. That's powerful, friends. The Spirit of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living in you. With a promise of physical resurrection as well. Hallelujah. So we remind ourselves this morning, because we started by saying, who is worthy? None of us. And Satan will tempt you again on your back. And he'll even compare you with somebody else and say, well, yeah, you know, they're, look at them. But you, if only they knew what was in you. No. What goes on, doesn't it? On our shoulder and on our back and standing in front of us sometimes. But there's one greater than him. Hallelujah. There's one greater than him. You receive the gift not on merit, but because of grace. You receive the gift not on merit, but of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joseph Prince is teaching some terrible stuff at this moment. It looks good. It's all about grace. But it's not from the Lord. Please do not be taken in by what Joseph may be saying, what he's written in his latest book. Please be careful. Grace. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ makes rich. Can I also say this? I love hearing people's testimonies. I love being encouraged by, you know, people giving their what has happened to them. I think we need to do more of it. Even if it may seem fairly trivial, if we say, but God, you know, we sung that song just now, you know, I may fall, but hey, he's lifted me up. That's a testimony. He's lifted me up. He's lifted me up out of the pit. You know, he wants you to experience his presence, his joy, his victory. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. We need, but I'm thinking specifically now about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit, I love hearing people's testimonies. I think it's so great. But one tendency can be is, but I haven't had that experience. I've not had that manifestation. I'm not sure if I even want that. You know, that can be a slight danger. But the Lord is saying, even to us this morning, no. Don't compare with others. Come to the fountain. You know, there may be many valid reactions to the work or the power or the baptizing of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. There may be many and varied reactions and manifestations. But friends, if you're seeking, and I trust you're seeking now, I pray each one of us in this building is seeking this power, this baptism, this anointing, because we cannot abide in Christ and produce the fruit that he's wanting for us and to live a life that is pleasing to him without, in this day particularly, without the fullness of the Holy Spirit, without him working through us. But we should not, friends, anticipate any kind of experience or sensation as proof that we have been filled with his Spirit. I say that lovingly to you. Apart from being flooded with his love. That's what you want. That's experience. You've been baptized. That's, you've met with Jesus in power because you've been flooded with love. Flooded with his love and love for others. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. If we are anticipating, expecting some special kind of sensation or reaction, we may then be disappointed as if nothing has happened, although the Lord has bestowed his amazing gift upon us. And we may even doubt that God wants to bless us. I say be careful, come expectant. Did you notice the persistence in Luke chapter 11, the scripture that we opened with? I say to you, verse 8 of chapter 11, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. That's brazen nerve which God honors. That's brazen nerve which God honors. We must ask. We must ask. You know what James says? You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. We must ask. We must ask. Are you lacking because you haven't asked? May God, even now, please, Lord, create a willingness that we have a hunger and a thirst for you. A hunger and a thirst for God. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not a maybe. If you're hungering, thirsting for the Lord this morning, if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for power, for his anointing, you shall be filled. Every great evangelist, preacher, every sincere follower of Jesus Christ have one thing in common. They all had that hunger for righteousness. They thirsted after God. They could not be satisfied with anything less than God. King David had that desire, that love for God, when he wrote, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Wow. That your testimony this morning. Friends, we need to get this straight because there's so much rubbish. And you see, the enemy will say, when you see, and I mentioned some of the bizarre and ungodly things that some people attribute to the Holy Spirit, and then they back off. They back away and think, I don't want, and understandably. But I'll tell you, what God is going to give you is precious, is for his glory and for your good, so that you can bless others. He won't cause you anything that would distress you. You know, if he's given you even baptism of joy, that people look upon you and say, well, he or she is drunk. You know God has met with you. He's given you a language. He's given you something which is absolute. But he may give you something else. But what he will not give you is something unholy. The Lord will not give you something that is unholy. He will not cause you to run around this room as a dog quacking like a chicken. I'll tell you, he won't. He won't. He won't. That is unholy. But he wants to fill you. Hallelujah. It is not for the longing or the fear or emotions that drive us to where God is calling us. It's the thirst for God himself. It's the thirst for God himself. If I am longing to be filled so that I can have just joy or euphoria, I will be possibly led the wrong path. It is a pursuit of God. It's the pursuit. pursuit of God is this intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a pursuit of personal benefit. I hunger to do his will, to be satisfied, not my own will. Jesus himself said his food was to do the will of the Father and finish his work. He wants you even now baptized, filled, anointed in his Holy Spirit so that you will complete the work he's ordained for you, which he is destined for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And friends, nothing has changed. We will find our satisfaction in the center of God's will. Hallelujah. Friends, everyone who has achieved anything for Jesus have done it for the glory of God. They wanted special power for special service. They needed to lose their lives for the sake of being completely used for God's will. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit is seen in their lives. There's fruit. They lived holy. They proclaimed God's word. And I say again, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not point to the Holy Spirit to himself, but to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of truth will speak of his own authority, but point to the authority of Jesus Christ. John 15 and verse 16. John 15 verse 16. We read, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Wow. Are you asking? Whatever you ask in his name and it's for his glory, he's going to give you. Oh, you of little faith. In the next chapter, chapter 16, John 16, verse 23. John 16, verse 23, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most surely I say to you ever, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." You're asking in the name of Jesus, it's for his glory. And so that we can get his work done on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Bring it, Lord, bring it, Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. The final passage I'll refer to you to is the letter of John, the first letter of John. 1 John and chapter 5. And verse 14, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Well, that's either God's word or it's not. Who says it's God's word? I'm just seeing how many need counselling afterwards, that's all. Hallelujah. This is God's word, friends. You've got to take it. You've got to believe it. It's for his glory. It's his will being done. If we've lacked because we've asked not, or we've gone to the wrong place, it's come hungry and thirsty for God, because we will be satisfied to do his will. This morning, may we step out in faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. What is God going to do with you even today and with me? Faith is all of the evidence you need. Faith in Jesus. We need not look for immediate signs such as tongues, flashes of light, hot flushes, whatever. They may or may not occur. Faith rests on the sure word of God. He has said, it will be done. Faith never rests on a feeling or an experience. What did Paul ask the Galatian believers? He said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Faith comes by hearing God's word. Friends, may we now, please help us, Lord. You want to? Am I willing? Let us believe now for that new dynamic of love that he's pouring into your life and mine. Seek and you shall find. Those who are persistent and seek God with a hunger and a thirst for his righteousness will be filled. Hallelujah. Those who mumble a prayer and never really seek, never really knock in faith, but mumble it and never ask with a deep longing and faith in him, will be disappointed. But God longs to fill anyone who asks for his Spirit. So may we now yield and submit to him. He longs to bless you. Not for your sake so much, but that you will fulfill his will. And this church will fulfill his will. That we won't be doing dead works, but works that are pleasing to him, because he has empowered us for 2012 to make an impact in our community, in our workplace, in our college, in our home. For we see Jesus. Just spend a moment just quiet before the Lord and as we continue waiting upon the Lord and perhaps worshipping in song, please be open to the Lord. Please, let's all be seeking after him. He satisfies the longing soul. Hallelujah. God has a work and a task for you, friends. He wants to give you a gift which perhaps you've not had in the past. He's going to use you. Yes, even he still wants to use you. You say, well, I'm old and grey-headed. No, he still has a work for you to do, and he wants to supernaturally empower you to fulfill that. Because he knows your weakness. He knows your lack of physical strength. He knows the memory. All those things he knows. He's a heavenly father. He doesn't beat us. But he wants to give us. He wants to quench that thirst. He wants to anoint you. For the young ones among us, and I include myself, he wants to just come. Because he's work for us to do. It's a dying, desperate world. We need to be full of love, full of power, full of grace. Hallelujah. And we put first things first. Are there priorities which need changing in your life and in mine? You had to say even now to the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I listened to the evil one. I got unbelief because I believed him that I'm just a wretched sinner. I just see myself as a failure. Lord, forgive me. You've been born again. I've been born again of the Holy Spirit. You are indwelling me. And yet, I've chosen to believe a lie from the pit. Will you forgive me, Lord? I know my worth is in you. I know I can only receive because you are willing to give. Come to you. Your blessing now, so that my life can be transformed to the glory of Christ. If any of you have held back because you've been perhaps jealous of other people's experience, think, I will never attain to that. Yes, the Lord is treating you as a unique person. He sees you as you are. He knows your makeup. But he wants to flood you now with his Holy Spirit. As long as you're thirsting after him and not thirsting for a particular experience. Just come and see what God will do. You give the Lord permission. He's God. He can do what he will with you. But it will be to bless. Ultimately, it will be. Don't limit the Lord. He's holy. He won't give anything that will bring glory to flesh. Oh, thank you, Lord. We receive. And Lord, if there are any who've already been given that jawbone, but they may have even thrown it away, they may have hidden it in a cupboard, will you reignite their passion for you today? And Lord, what you have already given and done for them, and perhaps they have been used for your glory, but they've grown weary. They've got under attack. Other things have crowded in, and somehow the longing for you and, well, what use am I? Will you come, Lord, and revive your work in the midst of the years? Will you touch now, Lord, and reignite their love and their passion and say, Lord, the best days are now in front of me. The best days are now in front of my work. The best days are in front for my family. The best days are in front for my neighborhood, for my work. Because you are anointing me for service afresh, to live a life of love, a life of power, a life of victory, a life of grace. To know that even when he comes, the devil comes against me, I am victorious in you, because yours is the battle. Hallelujah. The battle belongs to you. And I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I may have trials and testings and temptations, but I know the King of Kings, and he's filling me now with his love and power, so that I can accomplish all things in his power and in his strength. Thank you, Lord. You've put up with my weakness. You know my weakness. But you are now my strength. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Supernaturally come, dear Lord Jesus. Are we thirsting after him? Thirsting for righteousness? Let him fill you now. Want to kneel where you are? If you want somebody to pray for you, that's fine. Just come to Jesus. Ask. Seek. Knock. Don't you think the Heavenly Father wants to give you the best, the Holy Spirit? Of course he does. Of course he does.